This is Ian Pickus for WAMC News. The music world is mourning the death this week of the Queen of Soul. Aretha Franklin died Thursday at age 74 from pancreatic cancer. She's being remembered as a gospel and pop giant and a civil rights beacon. Joining us now is Justin Patch, a postdoctoral fellow in music at Vassar College. A musician himself, he specializes in the intersection of music and American politics. What's been your reaction to the loss of Aretha Franklin?
Well, it's a combination of joy and sadness. Obviously, somebody who is such a profound musician and musical presence, it's always sad when they leave. But in the last 48 hours or so, I've been talking about her with people I know and listening to her music, and it's amazing. And the way that people talk about her with incredible reverence and affection, and the way that her sound became part of people's lives, the only reaction to a life like that is joy.
Upon her death, you wrote that she's an artist who changed the way fans listen to music. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's one of these things that we learn about the possibilities of expression by hearing or by reading or by seeing what other people do. And I think that the way that Aretha Franklin took gospel and religious music and put it into popular music, she was not the first person to do that. You know, Sam Cooke and Etta James and all these other artists before, but she's somebody that brought that sound into people's living rooms, into people's cars in a way that people really hadn't, you know, no one else really had that sort of reach before her. And I think that was very special, to the point where when she released a gospel album, people who weren't necessarily religious went out and bought it because they were so fascinated by the sound of her voice. And I think that she took the potential for that sort of musicianship and really put it onto the airwaves in a way that was very, very special.
You specialize in music and the intersection with American politics, and a lot of people this week have been remarking on the fact that she did live to perform at the inauguration of the first African-American president. After the 60s and through this week, where do you think her legacy sits now in terms of, the way the country moved politically in the last half century?
Oof. That's I think I would have had a very different answer for you 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I think her legacy when it comes to advocating for civil rights and for human liberation on the whole is something that I think we're still unpacking. I mean, I read an article 2 days ago about her saying she was ready to put up bail for Angela Davis when Angela Davis was being held in New York, and the way that she explained her advocacy for Professor Davis was that, hey, this is a strong black woman who is for the liberation of black people and for human freedom, and I have to get behind that. And so that legacy of really caring about respect, I mean, her sort of signature song and the way that she advocated for human dignity and for women's rights and for civil rights throughout her career is something that I think we will look back on in 10 or 15 years and say that she was one of these incredible sort of shining beacons for 60 years of her life, and that her legacy, regardless of what went on around her, whether it was, the riots in Watts and Newark and Detroit, or whether it was white supremacists in Charlottesville, that will look at her and listen to her music and say, this is what it means to be dedicated to the cause of liberation. And that's not going to change.
A lot of people, of course, have been remarking on the unique quality of her singing voice. But as a musician yourself, what can you tell us about her playing? Because she was known to, accompany herself on several very important recordings.
Well, I was just listening to her recording of Sam Cooke's You Send Me this morning. And if you want to hear a very concise demonstration of her musicianship as a keyboard player, that's about as good an example as I can possibly give you. I mean, the uniqueness of her phrasing, the way that she uses the full range of dynamics. She goes from loud to soft. She uses these incredible passing chords. And the way that she uses her voice, which is what everybody knows, what everyone listens for, if you go back to those Atlantic recordings when she's playing piano for herself, you hear the way that she uses both instruments together, her voice and the piano, and the way the piano supports her voice and plays these really great sort of offbeat accents and really bolsters a very unusual signature way of phrasing that only Aretha Franklin can actually ever sort of sing a musical line like that. And it's as equally important that she supports her own singing by accompanying herself. It sounds like the most natural thing in the world to be able to, you know, play and sing at the same time. But there are very few people that really are able to step out and make a song their own on two instruments at the same time. And Aretha Franklin was one of those people who was able to do that.
Lastly, do you see an heir to Aretha Franklin in current music?
Well, I don't, and that's partially because I don't think anyone should ever try to sing like Aretha Franklin. I think the thing that made Aretha Franklin great was that she was so unapologetically herself all the time. And that's what made her presentation so incredible and so memorable, is that she wasn't trying to sound like anybody else. And I think if we get one takeaway from her, is that, like, take who you are unapologetically and make it musical. And that's exactly what she did.
Darling, you send me. Darling, you send me. Darling, you send me. Honest you do, honest you do, honest you do.
Justin Patch is a postdoctoral fellow in music at Vassar, and he joined us to discuss the life and legacy of Aretha Franklin. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ian. It's a pleasure.